First up, though, many federal employees won't like what they hear from a new Congressional Budget Office report on their compensation. Government spends 17% more on compensating its employees than the private sector. That's according to the latest comparison from CBO on federal employee pay and benefits. Federal News Radio's Nicole Ogrisco joins me now to explain why this report is fueling debate on federal pay. And okay, Nicole, walk us through some of the key findings here.
So again, we're looking at an average here of total pay and benefits, but federal employees with high school diplomas or less typically earn about 53% more than their counterparts in the private sector. Feds with a bachelor's degree receive 21% more in compensation. On the other hand, employees with professional degrees or doctorates of some kind earn about 18% less than their counterparts in the private sector. And the main factor here is the defined benefit retirement package. It's something that most of the private sector no longer offers. And, you know, feds have been quick to point out that, you know, new employees are contributing more toward their pensions than maybe some of their predecessors have. We should also mention that federal employees have seen 3 years of pay freezes. But this is a pretty big discrepancy. And Andrew Biggs, he's a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. He studies this quite a bit. He's put out his own reports on this subject before. And he says the retirement really is the key here.
Higher pension contributions do reduce the federal pay advantage, but they won't get you anywhere close to where to pay parity. So, you know, I think if you really wanted to have pay parity, you'd probably have to shift federal employees almost in, you know, entirely to a defined contribution pension system. You know, just give them the TSP, which is, you know, by itself a very generous employer match, and just phase out the defined benefit pension plan, the FERS plan. That would get you closer.
Andrew Biggs from the American Enterprise Institute. And Nicole, as you alluded to, there is substantial debate every time we see one of these studies over federal pay and compensation. What are sort of the key arguments around this latest one from CBO?
So you'll hear that the federal labor unions typically hate these reports. They disagree with them. They say that compensation shouldn't focus on educational experience. I think you could debate that if you would like. But they, AFGE and NTEU, two major federal employee unions, they both point to another study on this topic, and it has really different results. The Bureau of Labor Statistics and OPM, they do their own pay comparability study every year. And most recently, they said that feds earn about 34% less than their counterparts in the private sector. They use two different models to do it. Won't get into all the details, but that methodology doesn't include things like retirement, health benefits, etc. The Federal Salary Council actually uses their methodology to calculate locality pay rates for federal employees in certain geographic areas. And AFGE and NTEU say this is the right summary of what's going on. I should mention that both of those unions are actually on the Federal Salary Council. And Big says he hates this methodology. He says it's an outlier among other similar studies. There are other studies from different organizations that look at this. And he says there are many problems with this version, but grade inflation is a key one of those issues.
You know, what's happening is you get this grade inflation in the federal government. The process is BLS is required to sort of take those GS levels, you know, at face value, not analyze them themselves, and compare them to private sector and state and local jobs where BLS does its own analysis of what the GS level would be. It's a faulty methodology.
Now, there are some benefits and some factors that CBO doesn't include in its own study, and CBO pointed out some of them. For example, one of the things that it doesn't include are the differences that come with some of these individual professional degrees or doctorates. Here's another example, and here's Biggs again.
If you were to look at some, like a medical doctor, if you are a medical doctor who works for the Veterans Administration, you don't pay malpractice insurance. If you were a medical doctor on the outside, you do. You know, if you're an orthopedist or something like that, that's $100,000 a year you have to pay.
So to summarize here, Big says that there's just no reason that the federal government should spend that much more on compensating its employees. The labor unions, though, they say the CBO method's inaccurate, and even if it was accurate, government shouldn't do what many private institutions have done in recent years. They should continue to offer those generous benefits, even if the private sector isn't right now.
So, Nicole, what's the background behind why we have this report in the first place? I mean, is it just going to sit on the shelf and collect dust for a while after it sparks some flame wars in the comments section of our website, or are there further plans for what's going to come out of it?
It's hard to tell. I mean, it has, these reports in the past have collected dust. And it was actually House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz who asked for an update to this report. And in the statement he put out after, you know, these new results came out, he said that this report will inform the committee's own work on civil service reform. And, you know, it's hard to tell whether or not that'll actually happen. I mean, the administration could use this evidence, that evidence that they always seem to be looking for these days, to make decisions on federal pay and benefits. And, you know, that is a priority that the administration mentioned in their recent reorganization memo. At the same time, CBO has done this and nothing has happened.
Yeah, and we should say that I think one of the more interesting findings in the study was that, in general, more professional, and this mirrors what we've seen from past studies, I think, more professional, more highly educated employees are generally undercompensated just on a cash basis when you compare them to the private sector. Lower educated employees are probably overcompensated compared to their peers in the private sector. But we're not seeing any indication yet that they would actually respond to those findings by CBO by trying to rectify what CBO says is an imbalance there, for example, right?
Right, not yet. And the point that you bring up is a good one, because we hear time and time again about agencies' challenges in trying to recruit some of these, you know, really highly skilled professionals, people like cybersecurity professionals, you know, maybe doctors at the Veterans Affairs Department, examples like that where they're really struggling. And this report, I think, proves why.
All right. Federal News Radio's Nicole Agresco. Thanks as always, Nicole.
Thanks, Jared.
And you can read more from her story at federalnewsradio.com.